wonderful, loving, graceful God who gives us every opportunity to repent. We've been listening to how much he sends his love to the Pharisees if they repent, but more so to the sinners. And we weren't here last week, but it would have been the Sunday of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son did everything wrong. I mean, he took the inheritance, he blew it, he goes away. And when he finally comes to his senses, because he's broke and he's hungry and he's thirsty and he realizes what he's squandered, he says, I'll go back to my father and the father, and I'll just ask to be a servant. And the father doesn't even do anything. He doesn't accept any of his speech that he's got made, you know. He just runs out and throws a cloak on him and gives him a ring and says, come, my son was dead, I'm alive. And we've been hearing all about the grace of God. And the grace of God is always there. It's always with us. But today, with the Sunday of the Last Judgment, we're warned that while his forgiveness and his mercy are always available to us, there is a time of judgment. There is a time when it ends. When this time that we have to actually repent, to come to God, ends. It ends at the Last Judgment. And it ends for us at the end of our lives. Because then we go to wait for the Great Judgment. And so, whether he comes in the clouds in the Second Coming and we're alive to see it, every generation has speculated that this might be the time. Who knows? It really doesn't matter. Because whether he comes while we're alive or after we're dead, he's coming. And what our situation is then is it stops. We pray all the time during the liturgy. Twice we pray for a Christian ending to our life, blameless and peaceful and a good defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ. If you come for confession, at the end, the priest says, may God forgive you all things through me, a sinner, and set you uncondemned before his terrible judgment seat. We're aware that there is a time. You know, when I was in my previous life doing sales, sometimes you go to these seminars and they teach you these horrible closes. These horrible ways to get people to buy things. And the one that they like the most is called impending doom. Basically, they say, well, I know you like that one. We've only got two left, and I think they're both spoken for, but if you come back by 5 o'clock, you can buy it. There's a deadline. We operate on deadlines. We're scared that we're going to lose something. And we will. We're going to lose much if we don't pay attention. And so the tone now is much different going into Lent. It's much more somber. Yes, we have always a merciful God who awaits our coming to him. But we need to pay attention also to what we do to our lives. If you want to understand what the Church teaches, one of the very best ways is to pay attention at Vespers and Matins and read those some of the verses. Last night at Vespers, we sang, a river of fire will draw all men amazed before your judgment seat. The books will be open, and the deeds of all men will be laid bare. We'll have nothing to say at that time. All things will be revealed. Everything, the light of God, will expose everything. All those things that we've hidden, that we really would rather don't come out, they're going to be fully and completely exposed. Even those things we've hidden from ourselves, we don't even want ourselves to see. They're all hidden, and all the things that are hidden are going to be in the light of God. And it's not a terrible, wrathful God that's going to punish us. It's simply being in his presence. Nothing but truth can exist, because everything else is unreality. It's not real. And all we will have, no matter how righteous we've been at that time, our righteousness will pale in comparison to what we could have done. And our unrighteousness, the times that we walked by those who were hungry and thirsty and we could have helped people and we chose to not do those things, they will gnaw on us like the worm. You know, when we talk about these realities, the gnashing of teeth, the burning fire, the gnawing worm, we're talking allegorically. And what we're talking about is that horror that we experience when we've wounded somebody, we get a little taste of it. Our wife, our husbands, our children, our loved ones, our parents, even those at work or school, when we've done something monumentally stupid. And we go home and we just cringe and we go, oh, I wish I could do that over again. Or we wound someone and they have a hard time forgiving us. And we say, oh, why did I do that? That's the worm that's gnawing on us. We get a taste of that now. And it's because we won't be able to defend ourselves. There's no defending. All of our excuses, all of those things that we tell ourselves that, well, we had to do it, you know, because such and such, and they shouldn't treat us this way, and all of these good reasons that we have for behaving badly, they won't even exist. They'll lay like a crumpled heap at our feet, and we won't even be able to open our mouths. That's the last judgment. It's the light of God. It's not a wrathful God. It's just reality. There is no reality in the kingdom of God except for love. And when we don't behave in love, then we aren't going to feel good about it when that's exposed. And everything will be exposed. The fathers, they tell us that the very things that Christ listed in today's gospel, he suffered himself. You know, he hungered. He went to the desert immediately after Theophany, after he's baptized and the Spirit came and said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. He went to the desert and fasted for 40 days and the devil came and he said, you're starved. Make these rocks become bread. And he said, no, you shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's true food. He was on the cross, hanging on the cross. And he said, I thirst. He said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. He was totally homeless. We say at Pascha, give me this stranger who has no place to lay his head. He suffered all of these things. And he was naked, and the noble Joseph took him down from the cross, wrapped him in fine linen, anointed him with spices, and placed him in a new tomb. So he suffered all of these things, and in suffering all of these things, he sanctified all of these things. All suffering, he sanctified. Our hunger, when we hunger, he gives us the bread of life. He gives us the Eucharist, his very body, as true food. When we thirst, he gives us his very blood to drink. This is true food. My blood, my body, is true food and true drink, he says. And we get rivers of righteousness and water coming to feed us. We're naked. And he clothes us with our garment of salvation and our baptism, with the robe of light he clothes us with. All of these things, he looks after us spiritually. He's proclaimed liberty to all of the captives, and we're all captives if we're living here, and we all need freeing. And he's imprisoned. When he died, He sought death, St. Athanasius says, that he put on a body that he could find death and go and destroy it. And he goes, and he goes to Hades, and he destroys death. He clears it out. The great enemy of mankind is finished. So So this is what he's done for us. He tells us today that on the right hand are the sheep, on the left hand are the goats. You know, he's not describing the good guys and the bad guys particularly. That's kind of how we take it when we first hear that. He's describing us. We're the sheep. We're also the goats. That line goes right through our heart. It's not that this guy over here is a good guy and look how wonderful he is, and this guy's a bad guy and we're probably a good guy, and we run around judging and trying to figure out who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. It's that we need to pay attention. We're given countless opportunities to invest our time and resources in things of the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's a much better investment when we take some of our extra cash, some of our extra money, some of our extra time, maybe even not our extra, maybe we even hurt a little bit and take some that's not so extra and do some things. And we invest them in eternal things, in things that when the exposure comes at the last judgment, that we will be happy. This was the best investment that we made. You know, we helped the poor, and we gave drink to the sick. And we worry, you know, aren't we going to be, we've got to be a little careful with that, you know, aren't we going to be spitefully used and persecuted? Of course, what do we sing about all the time? Blessed are you who are spitefully used and persecuted, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Because we'll be there at that point in time. That's why I like to see people take a stance for them. I like to see people donate to the church, to the poor, to the needy, so that we can help these things, because you're building up your eternal bank account. It's not rocket science. Christ talks about money a lot in the Bible. He talks a lot about the righteous mammon, about how impressed he is with the righteous people that go and use their resources, like the steward that went and wrote down all the bills, you know, so that he could have a better time when he got fired. Remember that parable? He talks about that kind of thing a lot, that you should be righteously using your mammon. And we know enough, maybe if we're smart and we're 20 years old, we decide we're going to put $100 a month in a bank account, and then we get to be 65 and we've actually got a few dollars to retire with, right? We understand that. We have to put it in an auto transfer, because we won't do it if it doesn't come out every month. Well, it's the same with the kingdom of heaven. Do an auto transfer through Stas or through something else. Make it so that you've got something always building up. And at the same time, be aware and awake of the great gifts and opportunities that God gives us. Of the poor people that show up on our doorsteps. Of the poor people that we go. We give $25 food cards quite often. I give five, six, sometimes eight a month out to different people that come. So go buy some. Give them to me, I'll give them out. Or buy some and give them out yourself if you see somebody. Those kind of things are very tangible. Those are the kind of things he's talking about today, tangible things. Basically, we need to demonstrate our love. Our love is a verb. It's an action word. It's not a feeling. It's not, oh, I feel good about this guy, and oh, this guy I don't feel so good about. It's doing something. That's what we're hearing today. It's feeding the poor, clothing the homeless, those kind of things. Christ said the most two important commandments were to love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But you know, we need to always do these good deeds in love. We don't need to make a spectacle of it. This is part of, as we go into Lent now, we're going in and we're saying, we're going to fast so that our spiritual senses are more magnified so we can understand these things better. We're going to do more fasting. We're going to give alms. Some of the money we don't spend on food, we can put aside and give alms. But we've got to be very careful when we do these things that we don't do them to be seen. That our left hand doesn't know what our right hand's doing. Because then we get our reward anyway. And anything we don't do in love it will end up at that last judgment, we'll have had our reward. It'll get burnt up as straw and rubble. So as we do these things, ask God to put love in our hearts, to truly understand what's real, what's important. As we enter into Great Lent with renewed commitment to feed and to help suffering humanity that surrounds us all over, with the true love of Christ, may each of us, arriving at the final destination, the final judgment, may each of us hear with great joy, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Because that's the true purpose of our life here on earth. Glory to Jesus Christ.
His glory forever.